There's no greater blessing than to have saving faith in Christ. Paul here is speaking about having a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith in the Lord Jesus, of course, is the gift of God and is received by every sinner when they come to Christ in repentance and faith. The Bible says, believe or exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. To be saved by the grace of God and to know sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven, and to have God's assurance that you'll never be in hell, is the greatest possession that anyone can possess upon this earth. The Apostle Paul had such faith bestowed upon him. Paul often spoke of his faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 5 verse 1 that he was justified by faith and that he had made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know anything about saving faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know anything about having your sins forgiven? If not, I pray that even today that you will come and turn to Christ by faith and in repentance. And praise God, this day the Lord will save your soul. And you can leave God's house rejoicing, knowing sins forgiven. As a man of faith, Paul was a man who walked by faith. His whole life from the day he was saved was a life of faith. And as Paul walked with Christ throughout life's journey, his faith manifested itself in a certain way. Paul's faith manifested itself through joy and rejoicing. Notice how Paul describes his faith here in our text. Paul speaks about joy of faith. He speaks here about the joy of faith. 24 times in the book of Philippians, Paul speaks about joy and about rejoicing in the Christian life. You see, the Apostle Paul and the saints at Philippi knew what it was to have the joy of faith manifested in their lives day by day. They had the joy of the Lord in their hearts. And this joy was seen in every area of their lives. Child of God, is the joy of the Lord seen in our lives? Is the joy of the Lord seen in every area of our Christian lives? The truth is, joy and saving faith in Jesus Christ, I believe, go together. Joy is a demonstration of our faith. Joy is one of the evidences of our faith. And child of God, when we think of all that Christ has done for us and in us, we should be the most joyful people on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15 verse 11, it's a text that you should underline in your Bible. The Lord Jesus said this, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. I wonder today, child of God, is our joy full? Is our cup full and running over? I'm sure when you were a child, Christian, you can remember singing that little chorus, my cup's full and running over. I'm sure the children still sing it to this very day. But there's a great truth there. And here in the book of Philippians, as I have said 24 times, Paul draws our attention to joy and faith, to rejoicing in the Lord. And my, if there's a day and age when you and I need to rejoice more in what the Lord has done and is doing for us and in us and through us, then it is this day in which we're living. Very simply today, I want you to notice how this joy of faith should manifest itself in the life of the child of God. And I pray that the Lord will bless our hearts through his precious word this Lord's day. First of all, I want you to notice joy in our praying. Take a look at chapter 1 and verse 4. See what Paul says here. Underline these words. He says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." Here, Paul draws our attention to the fact that every time he prayed, he had a heart that was full of joy and rejoicing. When Paul prayed, he prayed with joy in his heart. Why? Well, because Paul knew that God would hear his prayer. He believed that God would answer his prayer. He knew that God would hear him when he would pray. That is why Paul loved to pray, because he loved coming into the presence of the Lord. It was a joyous thing for the apostle to seek the face of the Lord. Not only did he rejoice in what the Lord had done for him and others, but Paul rejoiced in what God was going to do for him in the days ahead. You see, Paul's prayer life was a prayer life of faith. Every time the apostle came before the throne of grace, he knew that God's ear was ever open to his cry. Therefore, Paul was a man who was full of joy when he got down upon his knees. Prayer was a joy for Paul. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a chore. Every time he sought the face of God in prayer, his heart was full of rejoicing. You see, Paul's prayer life was a prayer life of believing in God, knowing that the Lord was there to hear his cry, no matter what his circumstances were. It was a joy for Paul to come before the Lord, God, in the attitude of prayer. Keep your hand in Philippians chapter 1 and turn over just for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sure it's a familiar portion of scripture to most of us. But I want you to notice how Paul links joy and rejoicing with praying and giving of thanks. So often we read these verses individually. But I want you to read verses 16 to 18 with me. And I want you to link them together, because they go together. And look what the Apostle Paul here says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. Paul says, "Rejoice evermore." That's an exhortation. But then Paul goes on to say in verse 17, after he says "rejoice evermore," he says, "Pray without ceasing." And then in verse 18, he says this, "In everything, give thanks." In other words, in everything, be joyful. Thank the Lord. Have a heart full of praise. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, notice very carefully there how the apostle links joy and rejoicing with praying and giving of thanks. Oh, child of God, there's a challenge there for you and I. How do we pray? How do we pray? What a challenge there is here for us all. Do we pray with joy? Do we look forward to our prayer times? Is the prayer meeting a place of joy for us each week? Does the thought of coming before the Lord in prayer fill our hearts and souls with rejoicing? It did for the Apostle Paul. It did, I believe, for the Christians at Philippi. You see, Paul's life was a life full of prayer. And as he prayed, there was joy in his praying. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to see that. It's very important, because that's, I believe, what our text, one of the things that our text is speaking about, joy and faith. You see, a part of our faith is prayer. You cannot be a Christian and not pray. Prayer life, our prayer life is of the utmost importance. Indeed, it's the most important thing, I believe, in the Christian's life. We pray every day. We pray probably several times every day. Many times every day. At least we ought to. Prayer
to the Christian is like breathing to the human. And child of God, if we're going to spend so much time in prayer, it needs to be a joyful thing. It needs to be a joyful exercise. It needs to be a joyful practice. Romans 1 verse 8. Listen to these verses. Here's Paul in his prayer life. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. As I read out these verses, I want you to think about the word always. Paul emphasizes throughout these texts that I'm going to read out the word always. And that shows to us that he's always engaged in this exercise of praying. Ephesians 1 verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Colossians 1 verse 3, for we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, same thing, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Philemon verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And friend, that's only a selection of verses where the Apostle Paul speaks about always praying for the saints of God, always remembering the saints of God around the throne of grace. And as he prayed with joy in his heart. You see, if you didn't like prayer, you wouldn't be at it. If prayer was a chore to you, you wouldn't pray. If every time you thought that you had to go and pray, and your attitude was, oh, not another prayer meeting. It's not Tuesday night again. It's not another prayer meeting. My friend, you wouldn't go, or else if you did go, you wouldn't go with joy in your heart. But here's a man, so in touch with God, believes that there is a God, and believes that God can give him anything and do anything for him. And he can't wait to get on his knees, because he knows as soon as he gets down on his knees, he has the ear of heaven, and his heart's filled with joy. Oh, dear child of God, I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Why did Paul pray so much? The answer is simple. Because he loved to pray. It was a joy for him to pray. Child of God, we will only pray with joy if we come before God with believing hearts. With believing hearts. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, listen to it, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that the one that comes before the Lord in prayer, you believe that that one is going to receive an answer? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Joy of faith. Joy in our praying. Joy in our praying. Now, we must move on. Take a look at chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 3. And you'll see, secondly, joy in our service for Christ. The Apostle Paul here is speaking about his labours in the gospel and about those who are labouring with him in the gospel. And of course, from the day Paul was saved to the day he died, he served the Lord. He laboured for the Lord. But as he laboured for the Lord, whatever he did in those labours, he had joy. He had joy. Look at verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labour with me in the gospel. So he's speaking about a service for Christ and those who labour with him. With Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, underline it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. As Paul served the Lord, he had a heart full of joy. And as he does so, he reveals unto us how he served God and how he exhorted others to serve the Lord. They were to serve the Lord with joy. He says in verse 4, and that's a text of scripture that we all need to underline in our Bible, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Therefore, as Paul served the Lord and sought to preach the gospel, he did it with joy, with rejoicing. Serving the Lord, as far as the Apostle Paul was concerned, was a joyful thing. It was a joyful thing. Look at verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. And you'll see this again. As he says here, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice, verse 10, in the Lord greatly. I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Everything that Paul did in the service of Christ, he did it with a heart full of joy. It was a joy for Paul to serve the Lord. Oh, child of God, is there not a great truth there for you and me to learn? Every time we serve the Lord, everything we do for the Lord, let us do it with the joy of the Lord in our hearts. But you know, Paul wasn't the only one who rejoiced as he served the Lord. Keep your hand there in Philippians chapter 4 and turn over just for a moment to Nehemiah chapter 8. When the children of Israel with Nehemiah went back to build the wall of Jerusalem, we are told that they did it with joy in their souls and joy in their hearts. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the latter part of it first of all says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get the picture here, Nehemiah and God's people, they're going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And they recognize that the joy of the Lord will be their strength if this task is going to be done. But take a look, just over, flick over a few pages to Nehemiah chapter 12 and underline verse 43. Because you read these wonderful words in verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and they rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also. And the children rejoiced. So it wasn't only the men, it wasn't only Nehemiah and the elders of Israel. No, the wives had to rejoice. And the children had to rejoice. And listen to what it says. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. They rejoiced because God's work was being built up. They rejoiced as they served God in his work. Oh, child of God, this is how we should serve the Lord. Do we serve Christ with joy? Sabbath school teacher, when you teach those children, do you come to teach them with joy in your heart? Do they see the joy in your heart? A children's worker, when the night comes to help out in the children's work, do you look forward to it and do you do it with joy in your soul? And do the children see the joy in your heart? Youth worker, preacher, missionary, elder, committee man, elder, tea maker, tape recorder man, cleaner, visitation outreach worker. Have I left anyone out? As we all serve the Lord in Bethel, do we serve the Lord with joy? Does the joy of the Lord flood our hearts? Do you see the joy of the Lord in me? Maybe you don't. Well, tell me if you don't. If I come here to preach or if I come here to serve the Lord and there's no joy, tell me. My friend, we need the joy of the Lord as we seek to serve the Lord. And whatever the Lord has called us to do, what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. It's a high honor to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we should never forget that. Wherever the Lord has placed us, whatever the Lord has called us to do, We should do it with all our hearts. And if we do it with all our hearts, then we will do it joyfully, praising His name for the privilege. For the privilege. And what a privilege it is to spread the message of the gospel. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord in His work. Now, there's something else. I want you to take a look at Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Joy in our praying, joy in our service. I want you to notice, thirdly, joy in our church fellowship. Look what is said in verse 2 of Philippians 2. "Fulfill ye my joy," Paul says, "that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now, Paul is speaking here about the joy that should be among God's people as they come together to worship God. He is, of course, speaking here about unity among God's people. Look at verse 17 and 18. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Paul here is drawing our attention to the joy that is among God's people in the church for whatever reason. And we will consider the specific reason that Paul is speaking about here just in a moment. But I want you simply at this point to see that when there is unity among God's people, there will be joy in the body of Christ. Joy as we come to worship. Joy as we come to sing the hymns of Zion. Joy as we come to have fellowship one with the other. Look at verses 28 and 29. Paul here is exhorting the church to receive Epaphroditus with joy. Look what it says. "I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the least sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness," or with all joy, "and hold such in reputation." Talking here about the work of God. Talking here about the fellowship of God's people particularly. So he is. Oh, child of God, every time we come into God's house, we need to praise the Lord with the joy that's flowing from our hearts. And that's why it is so important to pray and ask the Lord to prepare your heart before you come in to God's house. I wonder, do you do that, child of God? That's why we have a prayer meeting, you know, before the service in the morning and before the service at night. Now, the truth is, you don't have to be in that prayer meeting to prepare your heart before you come into public worship. You can prepare your heart at home before you come into public worship. But it's so important that when we come to sit in the pew, when we come to worship the Lord as a congregation, that our hearts are prepared. And that we pray, "Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my soul for the service ahead." And when we come in that manner, then we will praise the Lord with joy in our hearts, and we will enter into public worship praising the Lord with the joy in our hearts. Child of God, when we come together as a body of God's people, do we enter into God's house with joy? That's the challenge, I believe. Is there rejoicing as we meet in the church together? There should be. Indeed, there must be. That is why we need to sing the hymns with joy. We need to worship the Lord with rejoicing every time we come into God's house for public worship. You know, the early church was a church where there was unity. Thus, it was a church where there was great joy and fellowship among God's people. I'm sure that you're familiar with these verses, but it's Acts 8 verse 8. We read these words, "And there was great joy in that city." And in Acts 13 verse 52, we read these words. You should underline this verse in your Bible. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And when you trace the early history of the church in the book of Acts, you will see that they were a church that rejoiced in the Lord.
And that when they came together as a body of believers to worship the Lord, the joy of the Lord was very evident in their worship. Now there's something else I want you to notice. Turn back again to Philippians chapter 1. We're talking about the joy of faith. The joy of faith and how that joy should be manifested in our lives. Should be seen in our praying. Should be seen in our service. It should be seen in our public worship when we come to meet together as a body of God's people. But I want you to think for a moment, fourthly, about the joy in the midst of our trials. Joy in the midst of our trials. Now, let me remind you again of Paul's circumstances as he writes this letter to the saints at Philippi. He's in a prison cell at Rome. So his circumstances are very serious. And they're not very pleasant, to say the least. Paul is an old man coming near the end of his life. He's facing death itself. And yet, in these circumstances, Paul here is talking about the joy that he has in the Lord. Now, it's important that you see that. I've already said that 24 times in this book, Paul speaks about joy and about rejoicing. But you've got to remember that when Paul spoke all those words about joy and rejoicing, he's sitting in a cell, a prison cell. And it's not like McGabry. It's not like McGabry. It's a damp, dingy, cold prison cell. And he's facing death. And he's talking about joy. He's talking about rejoicing in the Lord. The joy of faith. The joy of faith is not only a blessing when we're young and in our full health and strength. The joy of faith should fill our hearts at all times, even when we grow old and are facing death itself. We should have the joy of the Lord in the midst of our trials. Paul is looking forward to heaven. Indeed, he wants to go to heaven. Look at chapter 1, verse 23. Keep in mind the circumstances that he's speaking about. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Underline those words. Which is far better. As Paul thinks about heaven, as he thinks about being with Christ, joy fills his heart. Because he recognizes that being with Christ in heaven is far better than being in a prison cell. And isn't it? What joy filled Paul's heart when he thought about dying and going to heaven. Paul knew that very soon the Lord would deliver him out of all his trials. He's going to be with the Lord, which was far better. Paul had only one desire, and that was to end his life rejoicing in the Lord. Did you know that? Paul had one desire, and that desire was to end his life as an old man, facing death, rejoicing in the Lord. Turn over to Acts chapter 20 for a moment. And you'll see this. Now, it's seen in the book of Philippians. And this text reveals it. This book reveals it. But look what he says in Acts chapter 20. It says in verse 24, "But none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." Underline it. "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I don't know how I'm going to end my life. I might end my life a grumpy old man. Just like many in the church today. Because there's many in the church of Jesus Christ today, and they're going to end their lives grumpy old men and grumpy old women. Don't end your life like that. Don't end your life like that. Paul wanted to end his life with joy, rejoicing in the Lord.
Oh, child of God, even in the midst of a prison cell, facing death, Paul was rejoicing. What did Peter say? 1 Peter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, listen to it, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, yet ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's joy for the child of God. Praise the Lord even in the midst of our trials. What is joy? The joy of faith. What does it mean? It means rejoicing in the Lord as we walk by faith day by day in our Christian lives. In every sphere of life. When we're praying, when we're serving, when we're worshipping, when we're passing through trials, when we come to face death. When we grow old and are feeble, oh, we need to have the joy of faith. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's why we need to pray day by day that the Lord will continually touch our lives afresh, touch our souls afresh. I'm not talking so much about the physical here. I'm talking about the spiritual child of God. Listen to me. It is great to have health and strength. And God has blessed me with it. But tomorrow things might change. Before I die, I might be on a sick bed for many months. I don't know. So my physical can change, and it will change. And your physical strength will change. It will. But our souls, the inner man, doesn't have to change. No matter what our circumstances are in life, don't let the devil rob you of the joy of God's salvation. Never forget what the Lord has done for us and is doing for us and will always continue to do for us. He has prepared us a home in heaven. Can Christians lose their joy? Yes, they can. Christians can lose their joy. Have you lost your joy? David lost his joy. But you know what he prayed? In Psalm 51 verse 12, he prayed this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now why did he pray that? Because he had lost his joy. You know why he lost his joy? Because he had sinned against the Lord. He prayed that prayer after it was revealed unto him that he had committed sin with Bathsheba. You know, Nathan the prophet went to him and said, thou art the man, you have committed adultery with Bathsheba. And David's heart was smitten because he realized he had failed God and sinned against God. And at that moment, he realized that he had no joy in his life. How can you have joy in your Christian life sinning and walking away from God? You can't have joy in your life. Now, the pleasures of sin last for a season and you think everything's going well, but all of a sudden, if you're a true Christian, all of a sudden, bang, it'll hit you like a ton of bricks. I'm out of the will of God. I have sinned. I'm doing wrong here. And you'll realize you have no joy. And maybe you'll realize it long before that. David realized it. David repented of his sin. And the Lord forgave him for his sin. But he prayed, oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. My friend, you can't lose your salvation, by the way. But you can lose the joy of it. If you've lost the joy of praying. If you've lost the joy of serving, if you've lost the joy of fellowshipping with God's people, if you've lost the joy in the midst of trial, get down on your knees and do what David did. Pray unto God. Cry unto the Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
and the Lord will restore unto you the joy of thy salvation. The joy of faith. The joy of faith. Let us all pray.